Welcome to the podcast where we keep it real, talking all things women on the Iconic Women Show with your host, Michelle Watson, author, founder, public speaker, and certified performance coach. Get empowered and inspired while learning about overcoming adversity, spirituality, life, and business strategies that will help you achieve your goals. And now, here's your host, Michelle Watson.
Okay, great. So welcome to the new season of the Iconic Woman podcast. And I am super excited for this series because we have a lineup of powerful guests, a lineup of powerful women, powerful iconic women. And if you're tuning in to the Iconic Woman for the first time and you're wondering who is the Iconic Woman, well, the Iconic Woman, my dear sister, is a force to be reckoned with. She embodies the essence of bold influence and spiritual fortitude. She's authentic. She radiates wisdom, ambition, and humility. And as a woman of prominence, she carries herself with value and authority, nurturing her innate creativity and embracing her authentic self. She's fearless. And she takes fearless risks, not only by building her home, but also uplifting and empowering those around her. So if you're wondering who the Iconic Woman is, and you may be saying, well, Michelle, you've spelt it with a E-I-K-O-N instead of a I-C-O-N. Well, here's what. The Greek word for icon came from the word ikenai, which means image, representation. And so the women that I am looking to bring on this podcast, or the topics that we're speaking about, is really coming from a place of women that are in a place of representing woman on a whole, and not just any woman, the women that are really allowing their God-given talents and attributes to be out there and make an impact and leave a mark here on this earth. And so that brings me to my first phenomenal guest that I have the privilege of having on the Iconic Woman podcast. And she's a woman that I've actually met years ago. And I'm not going to mention anything about that yet, because we will touch on it in a bit. And it's just a beauty to see her growth. And I trust that, you know, what we're going to cover today, it will really bless you, because our topic today is, are you cheating on Christ? Are you cheating on Christ? Do you feel like you're cheating on Christ as an entrepreneur? And so we welcome to the Iconic Woman podcast, Destiny Blake. She's a coach. She's a beautiful woman. She's a mother. She's a host. Ah, wow. This woman is powerful, filled and anointed. I'm not going to say any more. One thing we know about the Iconic Woman podcast is a place where we keep it real. Mm-hmm. So trust me, we're going to be keeping it real, but it's also a place where we have fun, we relax, and we just enjoy conversation.
Yeah.
So tell them who you are. What is that you do? Let me shut up.
Firstly, thank you so much, Michelle. I love what you're doing. I love what you're pioneering for. I love who you are. I love who you've become. Oh, I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity for just even inviting me here. Mm. My name is Destiny Blake. I am the confidence coach.
Hey,
that's the name that I go by. That's the title that I go by, the confidence coach. I'm an international host, and I'm also a life coach as well.
Nice.
I'm a teacher. Mm. So I work with children from the ages of 11 all the way up to 19. That's what I do for my 9 to 5. And then outside of that, I'm hosting, I'm coaching, I'm mothering, I'm mentoring, we're doing all of the ings. We're doing everything.
You hear the hats. You hear the many hats.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the thing. It's, I would want to be saying that it's typical of a woman, because we wear the hats, and that's the truth. We wear the hats. And sometimes when people see you at school, they just see you as mommy.
Yeah.
They have no idea of the many things that you're doing. Or even if they see you in church, maybe you're a minister, you know, that's what, and they believe that your life just encompasses that thing.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that there's so many other elements to you.
Absolutely.
But as we go in and who I am.
Who
I love that. See, we started already, you know what I'm saying? They needed to be in the conversations that we've had before.
Absolutely.
Then they would understand.
Driving here was
it was phenomenal. Mm. Because we were speaking and we're just seeing how God just he just does his road.
Yeah.
Don't try to sat nav it. Don't try to Waze it because you'll get lost.
Absolutely.
You'll get lost because Absolutely. Where you've put in as your destination is not necessarily where he wants to take you.
So good.
You know? So you wanna go and you wanna type in all of these postcodes. And he's saying, that's not where I want to take you.
My ways are not your ways.
My ways are not your ways. My
thoughts are not your thoughts.
My ways are not your ways. Nope. So the ways that we download
that's
on
so
our
good.
Phone. That's so good. The ways that we download on our phone to say that's where we're going, you know, he has a completely different plan.
Yeah.
And it just really brings me to, you know, your journey.
Yeah. It's been a journey.
Your journey. Because it's been a journey. I'm thinking about the first time I met you, I'm thinking about when I saw you, something you didn't even remember.
I know.
You imagine, you didn't even remember. Yeah. And we're talking about, I was trying this morning to remember how long it was. And I actually couldn't. But I knew that it was years. We're talking about maybe.
Well, Shay's 15 now. So we're talking about probably about 14 years now.
Wow.
She was about 1, 2 around the time.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, she was a young
about
baby.
14 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Right, that's the last time we even spoke.
Absolutely.
And just to share, you know, with you guys, like when I saw Destiny, we were doing I was with the church that I was previously, and we used to do something called the Praise Take Light Club. Shout out to Pastor Julie and Pastor Peter.
Love you guys.
They used to do the Praise Take Light Club, and we had many different talents coming through. And at the time, you were doing spoken word.
Yeah.
But you were shy to take the mic.
I was.
Shy to take the mic.
I was.
And so you've gone from being shy to take the mic to now telling people to speak up.
Unmuzzled.
You know what I'm saying? Become unmuzzled. Absolutely. But yet at that time, I guess the picture that you painted was a picture of somebody that was muzzled but trying to open her mouth.
Trying
to open her mouth. Mm-hmm. So I guess... What took you down this journey? Like, where it started? Because I understand what happened at that time, and I don't know if you want to go as far back as mentioning that. But I know how that bit, when I met you then, I have a rough idea of where you were, the space you were in, right? But how do you get from that place to where you are now?
Whew. I love the fact that you alluded to the journey. You spoke about the journey. To go from being muzzled to then speaking up and being, you know, advocating for other women and children. It has been a journey. My journey actually started at the age of 13, 14 when I started writing poetry. So when you met me, it was showtime, but I didn't realize that it was showtime. I was in preparation up until that moment. Poetry saved me because poetry meant that I could use a pen on a blank canvas, which was a piece of paper, and write the words that I was thinking and feeling, because I never had an outlet. I never had anywhere that I could, you know, I could go to express myself, you know, just family dynamics, etc. The family that I kind of grew up in, it was be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I know them ones.
And that's why even in terms of what I'm currently doing with young people, etc., you know, it's something that I'm honing in on, not muzzling the voices of our youth. But it started when I was 14. I was actually recognized by BBC for poetry. And then when I had met you, I was a young mother,
which
was another form of muzzling. All I knew was motherhood. All I knew was, you know, I was a teenage mother. And then here I was now in my early 20s. And just a lot was going on. So when I actually found the community that you were a part of at the time, the church community, which I was so grateful for, God always knows how to set us up with people and a community that will ultimately undo what the enemy has tried to do. So when I met you and I was shy to take the mic, it was all of those years from 13, 14, 15, 16, writing poetry, pen on paper. Now it was showtime and someone came to hand me the mic. I never forget that. and I had to do the poem and I did it passionately and I did it in a way that was, you know, it was just, I just had to get it out. The journey, where do I even start from? Honestly, it's because I think there are just so many things in life that come to muzzle us.
Yeah.
So many
yeah.
situations, so many happenings, so many circumstances.
100%.
And if we don't recognize, you know, I posted something yesterday. Sometimes we think that it's a physical muzzle, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's something that we cannot see.
That's it. That's it.
Something that is underlying that has, you know, that is causing us not to be able to express or do what God has called us to do. Mm. So yeah, just that's how the journey started. It has been a journey. Mm. It has definitely been a journey.
So what sparked Speak Up? What really sparked it? Because obviously, yes, you know, you were doing spoken word, you know, you're teaching, you're coaching individuals, and even the fact of you saying that you're a confidence coach, mm-hmm. and to look back at someone that didn't have the confidence. So didn't mm-hmm. have the confidence, yeah. and not only that, and I totally get it when you're saying, you know, even being a young mom, that was another thing of being muzzled, because maybe in your eyes at the time you're thinking, okay, it's almost like, you know, what came in my head a while ago was when they said, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Absolutely, and
it's funny because. And that is the identity game.
Yeah.
That's the identity game that the enemy plays, because he knows.
Yeah.
He knew about Speak Up.
Yeah. If he can strip you of your identity, that's it. That is it. Yeah.
And so it really, you know, there's so much power in what you said before about where you were and who you was as an individual, mm-hmm. because it speaks into anyone that's watching right now that may not be feeling confident and feeling like this is how I'm going to be forever. Mm-hmm. And recognizing or seeing you and recognizing that the fact that I don't have confidence now doesn't mean that that's where I'm going to be.
No.
The fact that I'm muzzled now doesn't mean that that's where I'm going to be.
Absolutely.
Because it possibly may just be a process, and there's steps that you may need to go through for that shame to start stripping away.
Yeah.
For you to actually realize that there's nothing actually to be ashamed of, because this pathway that God has set me on is actually a gift.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's actually a gift.
Absolutely.
And a stepping stone to take me to where I am. So the fact that you didn't have confidence, you understand the pain, you understand the desires and the needs that individual has.
Yes.
And you were able to package a solution around that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. To be able to say, here you go.
Absolutely.
And I love the beauty of that. Mm. But what gave birth to Speak Up?
I love that you spoke about identity. Everything that you're saying is so good. So good. I love the fact that you spoke about identity, because if the enemy can strip us of our identity, and what he uses is circumstances to do so.
Mm.
But the Bible says that I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And let me tell you, Michelle, one of the reasons why a lot of people struggle with the whole speaking up and the whole showing up and the whole doing what God has essentially called them to do is because they think that they can show up without what he took them through. The testimony is a part of the process.
That's it.
And he takes us through, what's a testimony? You come through a test, you've passed the test, and now you're here to tell the tale. Mm. You're here to tell the story, right?
Yeah.
And me essentially, what I'm essentially helping people do, or what I'm trying to get them to understand, is that you are here to tell the tale.
Yes.
So even after you've come through all of that stuff that you've come through, you're still here.
Yeah.
Now, if it took me 5 years to go through a particular thing and I can see someone going down the same road, it should take them 5 months.
Okay.
Or it should take them a lesser time, because I should be the example.
Exactly.
But we cannot afford to show up in some of these places, social media, you know, whatever it is, and forget about
where we're coming from.
And there's a saying that I love saying is that I remember God gave it to me. He said, you don't live in the past, but you go back and collect the things that you need.
Oh, lovely.
Because ultimately, all of the trajectory of my entire life, my process, there are elements, there are lessons, there are things that I need so that I can help the people that I'm called to.
Of course not.
They're like little gems. Imagine just playing like a, you know, Mario. And you're picking up. Yeah. And it goes.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. And I love that. And it's taking me back to our car conversation.
I was saying, podcast.
Yeah, our car podcast, right? But it is beautiful. And I love that because, and it brings us right into what it is that we're speaking about today. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're wondering, you know, why I chose this topic about am I cheating on Christ? Mm-hmm. It's because we want to go into certain spheres and certain spaces, and we think that we need to separate ourselves from that journey because that journey is embarrassing. I don't want people to know about that. Yeah. But that's the thing that God is planning to use to open up the door for you. You don't even realize
Absolutely.
It. You're closing the door on it because to you it's shame. But the Bible tells us that he uses the foolish thing of men, right? To conform the wise. Right? So it may seem like that story, that's a story that people should be shutting the door on. But God is saying, no, that's a story that I'm going to use to open the doors for you. Even more doors than you imagined. Right? And we were speaking about in the car because with our imagination, we create a box.
And put God in the box.
When he's saying he's planning to do
much more
abundantly and more than you can imagine. Mm. So you're imagining this destination. And he's saying that's short. That's like...
It's too little bit.
That's too small. You're imagining a box. Mm. And he's like, what I have for you is bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And so when you go for a breaking moment, you're thinking that God is breaking you, but he's actually saying, no. I'm just breaking the space that you've put yourself in because that space is too small.
It's too limited.
It's too limited, right? And so coming back, because I know we're going to have many digressing moments, but hey, it's what I digress, right? But the beauty of what we're looking at is the fact that I remember when I started out in the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah.
And I thought I needed to hide that.
Yeah.
I thought I needed to hide what I went through, the abuse, all of these things. I thought I needed to hide that because if people knew about that, they wouldn't want to work with me.
Yeah.
When I wrote my first book, you know, I was one of my biggest critics because I'm like, who's going to want to read it?
Mm.
Like, Michelle, you've attempted suicide. You've parented a child with special needs. You've done all these. Like, what can you write that anybody's going to want to read?
We disqualify ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And so because we disqualify ourselves, when we get into these spaces, we want to hide it.
Yeah.
Right? And then we go into this place of, okay, now we need to... We're creating a program and we're like, oh, we need to charge. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But we go into these spaces. And I remember when I was going into these spaces, I'm like, God, should I even be mentioning you? Mm-hmm. Should I even let anybody know that I'm a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going into these spaces where I'm looking at all these business people and I'm like, I can't be saying that I'm a Christian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I used to go home feeling like I've cheated on God. I feel like I cheated on him because it's like, okay, God, I can only take you to the doorway. But when I get through the door, I need to be somebody else. I need to show up as somebody else. I need to leave Holy Spirit at the door. The Holy Spirit that is meant to direct me. The Holy Spirit that is meant to...
at the door.
Holy Spirit that is meant to help me discern who is that I'm supposed to speak to.
Mm.
Who is it that I'm supposed to avoid.
What you're supposed to say.
What I'm supposed to say. The deals I'm supposed to make. Mm-hmm. And I'm leaving Holy Spirit at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm saying, I don't think this is the space for you. They're swearing, they're drinking. It's not the space for you.
The one that guides us into truth. And we leave him.
And we leave him at the door. So that's where this whole topic came from about, you know, am I cheating on Christ? So have you ever had those moments where you felt like I needed to, you know, because you go into events and you're host and you do all of these great things.
Yeah.
Like, what showed up for you in these moments, like you navigating faith and entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. Oh, I love this. I love it, love it, love it, love it so much. Because we do have a tendency at times. I used to do that. I'm now unapologetically saved. I'm a believer, period, okay? And I believe, though, that God gives us wisdom to be able to articulate ourselves in these spaces.
Mm.
Now, Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, he speaks about just even the way we speak, even the way we can't Christianize everything. We can't go into a board meeting and say hallelujah.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But there is, I don't know if you've ever heard this, Mish, have you ever heard someone say there's something different about you?
Yes. Oh, so many
there
times.
There you go. And that is the difference.
That's the difference.
That's the difference that we carry. And I'm no longer ashamed of, because here's the thing, the world need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The world need God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The world need, you know, they need a savior at this present moment. Like the pandemic, people are dealing with so many different things. There's just so much happening in the world. And here we are trying to, you know, hide him and so ashamed of the one that, he is the light, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The one that gives way and makes way for people to come and to change the people's, change their narratives, their behaviors, change who they are as people. We are holding on to that and saying,
subtract.
I'm not, you know what?
want
to subtract him and remove him from this. And it really is an identity thing. Yeah. Again, it goes back to identity.
100%.
Knowing that, firstly, I am nobody without God.
Exactly.
Anything that I have to, I don't have anything to offer but the one that sent me or the one that gave me the blessing or the one that, you know, will put a word in my mouth or a word of wisdom, word of knowledge or something in my mouth for an unbeliever. And I think sometimes we can get so like, you know, the church sometimes we're in a box.
Yeah.
And we don't realize God didn't say that he sent us to the church. He said he sent us to the world. What does the Bible say? It says, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give his son to the church.
Mm-hmm. Speak, my sister.
He gave his son to the world.
That's it.
So I think we have to understand as well, some of us may be called to the marketplace, and that's where God has called me.
Yeah.
I am a marketplace ambassador. That's who 100%. I am. I'm a representative of the kingdom of God.
I love
that's
that.
Who I am.
I love that.
Right? So I'm not going to leave if I'm an ambassador. What's an ambassador? Someone that comes on behalf of someone else.
Uh-huh.
I'm sent. Great. I'm a sent Thank one. You. So for me, I know that if I go in my own strength, in my own power, the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. It's his spirit that will say, you know what? You're having a conversation with this person, your manager. Tell them, put your hand on their shoulder and just tell them that you're praying for them.
Hi.
God sends us into these places, and I call myself a ninja. I go in, I'm in disguise.
How many names? That's another one. I'm
a ninja. And I will go in, you know, undercover and for the benefits of the kingdom. This is not about me.
That's it.
None of these things that I possess, the gifts, any of these coaching programs, anything that I do, the conversations that I have, what you're going to feel is the Holy Spirit. And the reason is because I have a personal relationship with him.
That's it.
I have a personal relationship with him, so you're going to feel him. For instance, my daughter goes out. You know, I've got a 15-year-old. Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old. She's going to be 16 this year.
Sweet.
When she goes out, what does she do? She represents me.
Yeah.
What do people say? You're well-mannered. You're coming from a good home. So we are representations of someone may never meet Christ.
Uh-huh.
But they will meet you, or they will meet the Christ
They'll
in
meet you.
You.
The icon. The
they
iconic
will meet
woman.
You, the iconic woman.
The iconic woman.
There
They'll
you go.
You.
They'll meet you.
They'll meet you.
So for me, it's not about hiding who I am. Sometimes God will just say, observe.
Yeah.
Just Love observe
that.
Or your presence will bring peace just in an environment where everyone else is chaotic and things are happening. You just...
You bring blessing. Look
listen.
At Jacob and Laban.
Oh, yes.
Jacob and Laban.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's beautiful because I always say...
I hope I answered your question, by the way.
No, you did.
Okay.
But it's lovely because I get so many things in my mind. And so which one do I go to?
Yeah.
Right? The Bible says that we are a light, right? It didn't say you're only a light, as you said, in your home or in your church, wherever you go, right? But what is the point? Or what is the value of a light if you're carrying it to shine in a place that is already lit?
Ooh.
Like, what is the relevance?
None.
The beauty of the light or the beauty that somebody will see from light is when they're struggling in the dark and somebody comes and shines a flashlight.
Facts.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Relief.
So relief.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't see.
Yeah.
And now you going into those places, those entrepreneurial spaces and bringing that light, they're not able to see.
Yeah.
Just like we say, when they say, there's something different about
Absolutely.
You. Because they're seeing your humility.
Absolutely.
They're seeing that even when clients have been rude to you, you responded with a soft answer.
Yes.
So they're seeing something new. So what is the point of being a light, but yet you can't take that light into the entrepreneurial world?
So good. and we're in the church doing what with our light?
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, when I realized that, so here's what happened for me. Two things happened for me to get this realization. Mm-hmm. The first one was, I remember I was coaching, I was mentoring a woman in regards to speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mentor at the Professional Speakers Academy. And I remember, because this was one of the main places where I felt like I struggled, because I like, you know, do I need to be silent about who I am as a child of God?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work.
It
comes out like, that didn't work. But I remember there was a lady and she was sharing her story, and it was a deep story, right? And she was crying and I felt so strongly to pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, during the break, I said, you know, can I pray with you? And I prayed. Mm-hmm. She was like, yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. so this is why I'm needed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God,
mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going somewhere else to speak, South Kensington. And whilst I was there, I shared my story and everything. And, you know, I'm anybody that knows me, when I speak, I'm very open and transparent. And I don't mind touching the vulnerable areas.
Yeah.
And I remember I was now in the foyer, and I was speaking to a few individuals. And I saw a young lady, she kept going back and forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those people moved on, she came over.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I've been looking for you because I felt like I needed to come and tell you what's been burdening me.
Mm.
And she was molested by her dad.
Mm.
Wait to hear this. She was molested by her dad. She's never told her mom.
Wow.
And she's now gotten to the age of an adult. She was in her early 20s. And she's never told her mom because she was worried about what it would do to the dynamics of her home.
Of course.
She told me. And it's that thing again where you talk about, but it's not about us. Mm. Our stories, our testimonies, everything is not for us.
No.
It's not for us at all. It's for us to go through so that we can guide someone else through.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when I realized that,
yeah,
I was like, Michelle, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Girl, go back and open that door and let me in. You're coming. Any door that I'm entering, you're not even coming with me. You're going in there before me.
Yeah.
Right? So whenever I'm going to accept a speaking or anything, I'm not just doing it.
No.
Prayer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go in there, I will sense, Holy Spirit will let me know.
Absolutely.
Do I mention you at this time, or absolutely, do I not? So I should never ever leave a room feeling like I'm cheating on God.
Yeah. No.
Or like he's some sort of concubine.
No.
That I pick up when I, you understand?
I remember your reel that you did the other day.
Yeah. Like he's some sort of concubine that I pick up when it is that I feel like I should pick him up. Yeah. You know, you're a side chick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a side chick. Yeah. You know, everything else is first place, and you're a side chick.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pick you up when it's convenient, when other people are not looking. And I realized that in the entrepreneurial world, a lot of Christians have done that. But what I've realized now is that there's so many more that are coming out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The remnants are coming.
They're coming.
The remnants are coming. They're because coming God entrusted many with gifts and opportunities to get his name out there. And many have been quiet with it.
Yeah.
Many have been silent.
Muzzled.
Yes, they've been muzzled. They've what's that word when you compromise.
Compromise.
Many have compromised. Mm-hmm. Many have compromised. And I believe that even the journey in itself, even the journey of life and the way that God does, you know, he takes us through these processes.
Mm.
Sometimes Nigerians will say jeje. They take it slowly, because I think that God wants to trust. He wants to see whether or not he can trust us with the opportunities that are coming.
Boy, you spoke a while ago, and I have to remind myself that you're actually Jamaican.
I am Jamaican.
Madam said jeje.
Jeje. So, yeah, can God trust us with the opportunities that he's given us? Can he trust us with the people that he's bringing to us?
That's it.
I had a prophecy just on the weekend that, you know, many young ladies are going to come to me.
Mm.
And my prayer has always been, and it has been happening, it's been happening. However, I've been like, God, cultivate the character before they come.
Mm.
Also, the pain and the trauma that I've experienced from other people.
Yeah.
That came to do exactly that I poured into, that I sowed into, etc. Deal with the pain so I don't, the lens that I'm looking at them from isn't tainted, or that I'm not I don't have this preconceived notion that everybody's coming to. And that's why God really intends to heal and heal the wounds and heal the issues that we've had with people and some of the things that we've dealt with. So yeah, it's definitely, I lost my train of thought there. Yeah.
I love it because it's us being able to recognize that value. Right. And I mentioned to you that I was working on a book. Mm. I am still working on it. Mm-hmm. Last chapter is meant to be finished today. Wow. And I was just sharing from a place of, because of, and I know today's topic is not about identity, but I think it trickles through everything because it's almost like it's a bit of a root, right?
Yeah.
And I realized that because I didn't know my identity of who I was in Christ, mm-hmm. I felt I needed to hide him.
Mm-hmm.
But what that also did was that it didn't make me to recognize my mm-hmm. worth.
Mm.
When I'm in church, okay, I understand good. Who I am. I'm a minister, mm-hmm. and and I can tap into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I walk into the room, mm-hmm. I bring myself as small as an ant,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like I needed to be somebody different.
Yeah,
it's almost like okay, zoop, drain that power, leave it there.
Yeah.
And go in as you.
Yeah,
right.
That's I love I'm the saying. Imagery, by the way, because this is what people do.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And that's why the math doesn't match.
It's not mathing.
It's not mathing, and you're working and you're toiling, and you're like, there's no results.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on,
mm-hmm.
but the equation is there.
You've left the spirit.
You left the spirit. So you plus the spirit.
Yeah,
is the power.
Is the power.
It's like, yeah, because think about it.
Yeah.
Moses on his own with a rod.
Yeah, nothing. It's just a rod.
It's just a rod. That's mm-hmm. why when God said, what is in your hand? He's like, oh, it's just a piece of stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that even with our giftings.
Yeah.
Oh, God is like, yeah, God, you know, please, you know, I need my purpose. I need the business. Lord, I've been praying, I've been asking, and this person, and that person, they're out there starting their business and they're moving. But God, and he's saying, what's in your hand?
What's in your hand?
What's the pain that you went through?
There you go.
You applied some strategies there to that go. Pain.
There you go. That other people you, need.
That other people need, right?
Yeah.
But we don't value it.
No.
We devalue it.
Absolutely.
And so because we devalue it, we don't think it's something that somebody needs,
mm-mm.
right? But again, Moses with the rod alone is just Moses with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Moses with the rod with God.
Yeah.
Mm. Parts the Red Sea.
My goodness.
Moses with the rod with God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
can
a word.
Make all kind of things happen. Yeah. Frogs, this, that, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you want to now go in there, Michelle, with the mic, without
the spirit, God.
Without the spirit, just Michelle on the mic,
mm-hmm.
chatting bare
mm-hmm.
jargons,
mm-hmm.
and you're wondering how did the result not happen?
No, it happened
because we went in there with our own big headed self, thinking that like, oh, I can do it without God, so let me park him. Because that's mm-hmm. and I know that. That's not necessarily the intention behind what you're doing, because maybe it's just that you're nervous about how people will see you, right? But he says, if you're ashamed of me, if you're ashamed of me, and I think that's what we have to realize, that as entrepreneurs, that's a place for us to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about all of these different people in the Bible, they were great.
Mm.
You're hearing Abraham has a whole army that can go and fight another army.
Yeah, yeah.
That can go and fight another army,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we have to realize that we weren't called to be small. I remember growing up hearing this thing about, this notion about, oh, as poor as a church rat.
Mm.
Who told you that church rat poor?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? As poor as a church rat.
That's true.
But because they had this terminology of, you know, blessed are the poor in heart.
Mm. That was supposed to be, yeah.
But it said poor in heart. It never said poor in pocket.
No.
That's the thing. That's with so context.
Good. Yeah, man.
Said poor in heart.
Biblical context is
humble, right? Mm-hmm. Humility. Mm-hmm. He didn't say poor in your pocket. Now, how many? What woke me up is me saying, okay, great, Michelle, you're having this big vision of how many people you want to help and what you want to do and wanting to build home for homeless people and all of these things.
Well, it's going to take finances.
So which empty pocket
you need resources, finances, you're going to need it.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God can't send people on the merry way, but he's deposited something in us.
Mm-hmm.
To utilize to be a blessing.
Absolutely.
And we're sitting down praying. Not weak or not me.
No, not me.
Not me.
My knees ain't ashy.
Sitting down praying, looking up in the sky, waiting for him to drop this big bag
doesn't
of money from out of the sky. It doesn't work like that. Right? And that's why the Bible says faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But people they twist so many things. And it brings me to this.
Yeah.
But it's a big one.
Yeah. Okay.
This one big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jamaican would say, that one here big.
That one here big.
That one here big. Please don't worry. Get your
translation.
Yeah. This one is big. And the reason why I'm saying this one is big is because I battled with it so much. Because as children of God, we want to be givers.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with my nan who was a giver to the core.
Yeah.
This woman, I was thinking about it even this morning. This woman, she would cook dinner, share dinner. I come from school. My dinner's on the table. By the time I'm changing my clothes, a guest has come to the house and my dinner's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to wait until she cook again.
Again.
Because she give me dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I grew up with that. And as children of God, we have this thing about we need to give.
Yeah.
Give, give, give. And then we do this line, oh, but this gift, God bless me with it. Am I supposed to charge?
Mm.
And so we battle. Because now we take up the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, we're out there showcasing as an entrepreneur, but the bank account is crying different languages.
Yeah.
And we can't pay tithes or we can't give offering because we actually refuse to put a value on what God has actually given us.
Absolutely. I love the word value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't put a value on it.
That's it.
So what's your take? Like, did you have that experience where, boy, Michelle, I found it difficult to charge.
Yeah.
I didn't want to charge. Like, or was that just a me thing? Is it just me?
No, it's a thing that is... It's predominant in the body of Christ. I think we assume that we're just supposed to give to our own detriment.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that we have. It's to our own detriment. Because at the end of the day, if this has nothing in there, there's nothing to pour into your cup. If there's nothing in this cup, I have nothing to give
you. Good.
So even though you're thirsty, you know, even though you may be thirsty, I don't have anything to give you. Dehydrated. Absolutely. I believe that God gives us wisdom.
Mm.
I really believe that he gives us wisdom. One of the things, I don't know how to quote this because I was just kind of thinking, should I quote it? But I'm going to try. My apostle always talks about the type of giving that we give. Sometimes you're going to have to give with your head.
Yes.
Ooh, right? Sometimes, and it depends on who's coming and who you're pouring into as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been one of those people that have just poured.
Child.
And the container, and when I say container, that's a metaphor or an analogy for a person, doesn't have the capacity to contain what I'm pouring.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I doing? I'm using the oil that cost me to pour into them, which they
come making use of it.
Absolutely, they're not making use of it. So there are some people, you give them your head.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, you give them your hand.
Mm.
Right? Now, there are, you know, and then there are others, you give them your heart.
Yeah.
Right? So there are times whereby you have to really analyze, who is this that I want to pour into?
Mm.
What is this opportunity that has presented itself? I don't believe that we should just give to our own detriment to the point where we have nothing.
Yes.
I don't believe in that at all. And, you know, I'm a tithe payer, but then I also understand that there are some people that will be like, I don't have enough, et cetera, et cetera. Growing up, my mother was someone that gave to her own detriment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not just to her own detriment, to the family's detriment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the point where we were in need. Mm-hmm. She used to give away everything. Now things have changed because there are times where God will tell you to give something.
Of course.
There are
course.
Other times you just want to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's in your nature.
Yeah.
However, it's not everything that God will tell you to give away.
Were
you meant to give at that time? And I remember she gave a testimony one time. She said, my mom, she said that she kept saying, God, I don't have I don't have anything. And God said, because every time I give you, you give it away.
Ah, Jesus.
Every time I give it to you, you give it away. God is a strategic God. He will give us strategy. For instance, right now, the era that I'm in, I used to pour on social media. People messaged me out the blue. Destiny, what do you think of this? Destiny.
Yeah.
The time that I don't have anymore,
mm-hmm.
my daughter's currently doing GCSEs, I'm doing all of these things, I'm pursuing what God has called me to do. Again, I cannot pour from an empty cup.
Never.
So now you're going to have to book a consultation.
Hey,
if it's 15 minutes, let me see if I can help you. If not, I may be able to point you in a direction. Just because you can do everything
doesn't
mean you should be doing anything. Or just because you can do something or everything doesn't mean you should be doing anything. Okay, I hope that I hope that makes sense.
I'm getting what you're putting down.
Just because, and sometimes you may feel a burden to support someone, but again, make sure that's around in a way in which that you can pour, but it's not a situation where you are at detriment because of it.
Trust me.
But in terms of serving, here's the thing, Michelle, this is what I'm going to say to you last, okay? Services are serving. Serving is a service. Okay? So when I say I've got a coaching practice, that's my service to people that need coaching.
Yes, thank you.
If I have a, if I'm a physiotherapist, okay? That is a service. Now, what I think is very, very beneficial is to go where you are needed.
100%.
Go where you are needed. I used to give a lot, like somebody called me, Destiny, they're just telling me their problems. Last year, I made a conscious effort and a decision. I am not giving unwarranted, unsolicited coaching advice, because coaching actually does more damage if the person's not ready.
Is the person is not ready.
Because you're pulling on something. Coaches pull. Mentors pull.
Before you know it, they have muscle contracts.
Absolutely. So it's for you also to discern, should I charge? There's some services I don't charge for. However, 100%. What I may do, so sometimes I may go host, and what I will say, okay, I'm going to host. My travel needs to be taken care of because I don't see why I should be going into my pocket pay for travel to get to your event unless I'm sowing into you. Maybe it's your first event. And I've heard from God.
Or felt led
I felt to, led to do so.
That's it. That's it.
Or there are other times where I'll say, pay for my travel and can I have media footage? I'm using it as leverage, but it's still a strategy for me to move to my next. Everyone has to. I came from public relations, so I understand the exchange of value. If I'm going to give you something, let me see how I can also benefit
then,
as well.
But then the thing is, a lot of people struck with guilt, because I remember I did at that time. I felt like if I was asking for something back, I felt like I shouldn't have or I shouldn't, because I am a child of God. And it's this thing again, I'm a child of God. So I am meant to be given, because I know there's some people out there right now. They're not charging what they're actually worth because of that very battle.
It's a value issue, though.
It's a value issue.
It is a, it's a value 100%. Issue. If you don't believe that what you have is valuable, then you won't charge. The guilt comes from, it's really, an, it goes back to, again, to identity. If you know who you are and what you carry, you're not going to feel guilty about saying, they has, some people, there has to be an exchange of something. There has to be a transaction. Because until they put their money where their mouth is,
they won't value it.
They won't value it.
You give it to them free, and because you give it the time free, they just expect it anyhow.
Absolutely.
They expect it anyhow, and they don't value what you've actually given to them because it's free. If they had to pay for it, it's different. And then you'll have people using these terminologies, but how come you're charging so much and you're a Christian? Hello. If I walk into Armani, Armani's not going to say, I'm going to give you 50% off because you're a Christian. You know, I walk into W.H. Smith, any one of these shops. If I'm naked, I'm not going to walk into a shop at Mark and Spencer and they say, you know what, because you're naked and you're a Christian, I'm going to give you this jacket for free.
But the gift is not subjective to Christianity.
That, thank you very much.
So Muslims may have the same gift. They may even be more gifted than you. An atheist is the same thing. The gift is not subjective to your religion or who you serve.
Exactly.
The gift is the gift.
Yeah. But they use that for, I don't know why.
Why Christians?
Yeah. It's always Christians. Oh, you're automatically... assigned or aligned with, you're a Christian, so you're meant to give it away for free.
I know you lie.
And
I know you lie.
No. You know what I used to realize? I used to get up and go and do speak to all of these things. And I sat down one day and I was like, Michelle, you're robbing. You're actually a thief. You're actually a thief. I said, how? I'm like, how am I a thief? You've taken the time away from your children. You've taken your time away from your husband. So are you telling me that you don't value the time that you're meant to give them? Because you're going out and you're giving it to others for free. And I've battled, even recently, I battled with, and it wasn't just about the giving, but it was about the pouring. It was about the pouring. Because even when you're on a plane, when they say, put the mask on your face,
they put you, on your face first.
On your face first. You know, you'd be looking, you do that, don't you do that. People look at you, hey, mm-hmm. you, Christian, mm-hmm. you put a mask on your face mm-hmm. first. You're wicked. You're selfish. Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. How can I help you if I'm dead?
There you go. There you go.
How can I be a friend? And, you know, shout out to my pastor, Omar Taki. Love you. Right? I don't know if you're going to be watching this because this is a woman's thing, but I know. Yeah, I see a lot of stuff. But he said something to me the other day and he took me to John 5, mm-hmm. right? And we were reading it and we were talking about the fact that when Jesus went to Bethsaida, the Bible says that there were multitudes of sick people. Palsy, all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And then as you read down, it says a certain man. Mm-hmm. He didn't say everybody.
No.
A certain mm-hmm. man. Jesus healed one person, even though possibly at the time he had the capacity to do
many. Everybody. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Many. He was strategic. Mm-hmm. He chose one.
There you go.
So why is it that I get up mm-hmm. and think that I need to heal everybody? Yeah, yeah. That is that bit.
That's a savior's grace as well. Savior's, what do they call it? Savior's, almost like you believe that you are the only person. Savior's complex. Savior's complex. You're the only person that's going to pour. And here's the thing, they're going to find someone else.
They're going to find someone else
that will provide maybe even lesser value than you, but they'll be charging and they will go elsewhere to pay.
Oh,
happens all the time.
Don't even go there.
Again, it's a matter of value and identity.
Yeah.
It's a matter of value. So for instance, myself, I'm not a revolving door. You cannot just back for, and that's what I used to do before. It was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to pick you up again. No. And it's not that I've not forgiven you, but there's boundaries now.
There's boundaries.
God has given us wisdom to carry again. No.
We're not using it.
No.
You know, the other day I said, you know, I designed a t-shirt. I have a printed it. I said, I'm a Christian, not a doormat.
Period.
I'm a Christian, not a doormat.
Don't dust your feet off on me.
I'm a Christian. I'm not a doormat. And it's just recognizing that we need to value.
Yeah.
We need to place value. Because at the end of the day, you are the one that will teach people how to treat you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you're teaching people that I don't have no value, so do what you want with me.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly how they're going to be treating you.
How can we blame them?
If you're teaching them that, oh, I have time, all the time in the world. Yeah,
call me whenever.
Forget that I have a business. Forget that I have a husband. Forget that I have children. But then again, can you blame them? Because you've made yourself seem like you don't have nothing doing.
So good.
Right? So it comes back to that fact and this giving and entrepreneurs realizing that as a child of God, you don't separate it. It's not oil and water.
No.
It comes together.
Absolutely.
You know, it formulates. Like, let's deep it.
Yeah.
Let's go down into the intricacies of this thing right now. So you want to go in. There's two analogies that's coming in my head.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll try
to choose the best one.
I'm trying to choose the best one, but I told them they're good. Right. So the first one is you go in to a place and you buy a product and you buy the product. You don't understand how to use the product.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you've bought it or it's just been given to you.
Yeah.
And it's been placed beside the manual.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick the product up.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go with the product, but you want to leave the manual. The manual that's going to tell you and show you all the ways of how to navigate this thing. And what then happens is you then end up losing time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? You end up spending hours trying to work it out when the manual would have told you you would have done it in 5 minutes.
Who told you that? That's what I do. So I have ADHD, so one of the things that I do is I hate manuals. So you're literally in my business.
But we do it. I've done it.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember putting up a unit because I love putting up furniture.
Oh, do you?
And I love doing it. And I remember I put it up and I'm like, this doesn't look right.
Mm.
The manual is there. I can pick up the manual. Like, what's wrong with us women?
Yeah.
I don't know if men do it as well, but what is wrong with us? I pick up the manual. Oh, my husband will say it's not. I don't think it's a man thing. Because my husband will say to me, "Mish, check the manual." I'm like, no. I know what I'm doing.
It's a woman thing.
And I'll put it up. And then what happens is one board, it looked good, you know. And one board was put incorrectly. And then what happens is it affects the finish.
Absolutely.
Ooh, so it didn't affect the bits that you were doing at that time. But when you got to the finish, when I'm now needing to put on the door, and guess what? The hinge is not at the place where it should be.
I mean...
And so then I'm going to have to demolish the whole thing to then get it correct because that is the one board that is holding everything together. Mm-hmm. And so to get to it, I'm going to have to demolish everything. Mm-hmm. You know how much time I've lost?
Mm-hmm.
And pain. And we do the same thing when we're saying that we want to create a business and we want to build a business, but we feel like we have to put our Christianity to one side, the cheat on God syndrome, right? We need to put our godliness to one side and we want it to work.
Yeah.
We want it to work. It's not making sense. And the second
analogy, God is an entrepreneur. God is a whole entrepreneur.
Invested.
He's an investor.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right? The second one was this. Like, you've actually been, like, you've been blessed with something.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that has blessed you, you're saying to them, how dare you come with me to carry this?
Ooh, I mean...
How dare you? How dare you come with me?
Mm.
You couldn't have had it without him.
Mm.
You couldn't have had it without him, but yet you're saying, how dare you come with me? How dare you show up with me? Stay in the background. Stay in the background. Don't be showing your face around here because I won't be accepted. My God.
Oh, my.
So you're saying, I won't be accepted. But you expect them to accept you based on the thing that you have in your hands that he gave you. Like, it makes sense. He gave it to you. He gave it to you so that the door could be open.
There you go.
And you're like, God, I can't bring you because if I bring you, they're going to close the door on me. Mm. How did the door get open in the first place?
I mean, cheating on God?
Cheating. Treating the man like concubine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So that's just the whole enemy. I know we could speak for, we could speak forever. I haven't even watching the clock. I've been watching the time. I've been watching the clock. But I just love the beauty of God. And, you know, even as we were coming and I was just looking at our journey and I was saying, we've not spoken for all of amount of years.
Yeah.
And then we end up having one conversation and that conversation has led us to being here and just being able to share so many different stories and learn from each other and pull from each other. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so beautiful. And that's a whole element of the iconic woman.
Yeah.
That Titus 2 woman, the woman that has experienced things and is now pouring it out to the younger ones for them to now recognize who they are because we have been there.
Absolutely.
We have been through the moments when we felt like nothing, when we thought we were nothing. Destiny, the first time when I went to a speaker's academy, this time I wasn't mentoring. That's when I was going there as a mentee.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a pod and soon it was going to be my time to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the toilet and I remember sitting in that toilet and I'm like, God, what am I doing here?
Mm.
God, what am I doing here? People are speaking about landing pages, websites, six-figure contracts. What am I doing here? Me, I have nothing. I'm driving part-time. I think I was driving part-time on the train at that time or working on the stations. God, I have nothing. What am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I only have a concept in my head of what it is that I want to create.
Concept.
A concept. That's it. I've not created anything. I've not started it. So what am I doing here amongst these trailblazers? I'm not meant to be here. I'm supposed to go and speak. What is it I'm going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
He said, talk about your mess. Talk about my mess. I'm going to go in front of business people to talk about my mess. He said, because it's an incomplete message. It's not a mess. It's an incomplete message.
So good.
Not a mess. And so I go out there and I start sharing my story. It had nothing in there to do with business. Nothing to do with business though. And afterwards people are like, how long have you been doing this? I'm like, how long? How long? I'm just, this is me just starting. Like, there's no how long in this. Like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. Me, I left there feeling on cloud nine because I'm like, hey. Okay, so something is here that can actually be worked with. And the reason why I'm sharing that is this. For those of you that are listening, you may have an idea. God may have placed a concept in you, right? You may have a rod in your hands. You may be like the widow that said, I have nothing, the oil in my house is not enough. There may be something in your hands and you're looking at it and you're not valuing it. Because you do it so easily. It happens so easily.
Mm-hmm.
You release it so easily. And so there's no value. And you're thinking, I can't price that. Like, who would buy this? Or who would buy from me? I don't know what it is that I'm doing. We started out, we didn't know what we were
absolutely
doing.
Not.
We just knew that we had a concept.
Yeah.
We had an idea. Everything's been birthed from idea.
Yeah.
Somebody had an idea about this mic.
Yeah.
They didn't know that it could work or it would happen or anyone would buy it until they action, that idea.
So good.
Right?
So good.
So you have a concept, and I always say you cannot edit a blank page. Start writing.
Come on. I mean,
you can't edit a blank page. Start writing. You can't be asking God to bless something that you've not started.
Yes.
Correct. Bless my business. Bless something that you've not started. You have something. Everything that he did and multiplied,
yeah.
It started with something. Yeah. The fish, the loaves.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it. So one, good. Two. And he multiplied it. Mm-hmm. What are you giving to God for you to multiply?
He can't add to what's not
existent. What's not there. Yeah. So there's no point in closing your hands.
Mm.
Because when you're closing your hands, nobody can receive from it.
Mm.
So start moving with that idea. Start moving with that concept so that he can bless it. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get something wrong. But it's a part of the process, because by that happening, you can then share it with somebody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's it for me. Don't be afraid to charge what you're worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't cheat on God. Take him everywhere with you. Every door, every avenue that you're walking. That's why I love Fantasia.
Yeah.
That girl will go out, business meeting about to start, and you see her holding hand praying. Mm-hmm. Her and her husband. I love it.
I love it.
She's not going to no avenue, no door without...
Because she know who sent her.
Because she know who sent her. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be quiet. Tell me. Not me. Tell them what you want to... And me, of course. It's me as well. Me, like I'm trying to...
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
What? Based on your experience, you know, and just even some of what we have shared...
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is vital for you to really leave with whoever is watching right now? What would you love if they were sitting right here and they were like, Destiny, what is the one thing? And sometimes we say one thing and then, you know, Holy Spirit releases all two and three. Don't worry about it. We work with it. But what is the one thing that you would definitely say, I would love this individual to know this?
I think as I speak, because you just opened up so much for myself as well, is to make sure that you are in closer proximity to the one who sent you, to the one who gave you the gift.
Nice.
The one who created, designed, and gave you that thing, and that is also establishing you. I've realized without God, I can do nothing. Without God, I can't do anything. But stay connected and stay committed to the one who is sending you.
Lovely.
One of the things that my perspective changed a couple of years ago, Mish, and how this happened was I started to realize there's a story in the Bible with Hannah. Hannah was married to a man called Elkanah, and there was another wife, which was a second wife, called Penina. The Bible says that Penina was having many children.
Yes.
And to the point where I could just imagine that Hannah was being taunted by Penina's children, teased, you know. But Hannah had a promise. God promised Hannah a child, promised her the promise, which still belongs to God, by the way. We have to remember that the promise still belongs to God. It's not ours to keep. It's ours to cultivate. It's ours to train. It's ours to guide. But it's not ours to keep. And the Bible says that Hannah got to a point where initially she was just jealous. It was just taunting. It was just, I want children. I want children. I want children. But then the Bible says that Hannah changed her motive.
Yes.
The Bible says that Hannah said to God, God, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. This is not about success. This is not about self or gratification for ourselves.
That's it.
Is about the kingdom of God. Can God trust us to give us what we desire? Can he trust us to cultivate the gift and
glory,
to go and stand on these platforms and to speak in these spaces and to show up with the gift as to what he's given us with him?
With him.
Knowing that he is the one that sent us.
Yes.
And the Bible speaks about how when Hannah's motive changed, the Bible says that then God blessed her. But he didn't just bless her with one.
No.
He blessed her with many more. Okay. Now, let's not forget Hannah's...
intention.
Not the intention, but there was a condition to this.
Yes.
The condition was, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. What does the Bible say? That Hannah brought Samuel to the temple to Eli.
Yeah.
Eli was needed in the temple. Mm. This is not about us.
No.
God's Samuel had an assignment in the temple of Eli because Eli's sons was doing a whole madness. And then we know even further what he went to go and accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to understand that the assignment, the gifts, all of these things that he's given to us is not about us. So if we can get out of the way and allow God to do what he needs to do.
Remove the light. The spotlight.
Oh my gosh. This is not about us. This is not about us. This is not about us. And the reason why they don't want to use their gift is because they believe, oh, how can I do it? How can I do it? God spoke to me one day. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll be honest, I've got ADHD and dyslexia. There are times where if it's not by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I cannot speak. I'm a stammerer. I stutter. I stumble over my words. You will know the difference. So I always tell people, don't come and see me after the program because I have nothing to say to you. Do you know what I mean? I don't have anything to give you. The only thing that I can give you, the only thing that I can give you is God. Let's not forget who sent us. Let's not forget why he gave us the gift. And there's a condition to it. And I've also figured out, if we give it back to God, it works simultaneously.
100%.
As we make his name great, our names will be great too.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And you know, you're just opening cans of worms. We're meant to be closing. You're just opening cans of worms. But the reason why I'm gonna share this because as I said, I'm someone that loves to Iconic Woman is about keeping it real. And anybody that knows me knows that I keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first starting off the Iconic Woman podcast, I came across that battle again.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I heard that it needed to be for entrepreneurial women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, entrepreneurial woman, but am I bringing God into this?
Mm.
The question came, like, am I bringing God into this? And I'm like, how can I not?
Mm.
That's the answer. My answer. And it's not, what happens if I do?
Mm.
It's how can I not?
Mm, that's good.
Because if we go into what happens if I do, we start thinking of all the things that people are going to say.
Mm.
Right? But people ain't the one that's going to make this thing last.
No.
When the problems come, I can't pray deeply. I can't call. There's times when you can't even call on people.
No.
I have to call on God.
Yeah.
So the answer came, how can I not?
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah?
That's so good.
And that's the same thing with everything else in my life. You know, people always say to me, you always bring it back to God. How can I not?
Yeah, so good.
Because I'm nothing without him. Mm-hmm. So how can I not?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what I will end by saying. How can you not? So get rid of the fear. Take the spotlight off yourself, right? Take the spotlight off yourself, you know, doing the Moses thing. I'm stammer. I'm this, I'm that. Yes, on your own you are. And so I love what you said. You know, on your own you are, but with God.
Mm, come on.
With God,
there's
a difference.
Let's not forget the Bible says about Moses as well that he was eloquent in speech.
Eloquent in speech.
Okay, so that's a juxtaposition. That's a
juxtaposition.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was eloquent in speech.
Absolutely.
And I remember
his stammer was because God wasn't in the...
I remember asking myself, how is it that one part of the Bible says this man is eloquent in speech, but then another part, he's saying his stammer. But hold on. This is what I love the beauty of.
Mm-hmm.
Moses never ever said that he was eloquent in speech. Mm-hmm. The Bible said he's eloquent in speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Moses was the one that said his stammer.
There you go.
Moses was the one that made this declaration over himself.
Yeah.
That he was stammer. Mm-hmm. And it boils back again to many people that have the gifts and the talents and they're declaring it useless.
If you're looking for an excuse, you'll find one.
Yeah, you'll find one. And they render it useless because they've done a comparison.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother topic.
That's a whole nother topic. We won't go into it. Mm-hmm. But he did a comparison.
Yeah.
And most likely Moses did a comparison. He's comparing himself to Pharaoh or those that are in Pharaoh's house.
Yeah.
The man even forgot
that he was there.
Ah. Inferiority complex. Anyway, you know what? That's it for today. We could be here forever. And you know, Destiny, I just want to thank you for being here, for being here on the Iconic Woman podcast. You know, I believe that when women come together, you know, there's so much that we can do. I could be on the podcast myself.
Yeah.
Right? But guess what? What you released, I wasn't graced to release.
Mm.
And that is what I keep telling people.
Yeah.
You can be gifted, but when you bring more than one gift together.
So good.
It's so good.
So good.
And so I thank you for coming on. And trust me, people, I have so many powerful women just like Destiny lined up, you know, for the Iconic Woman podcast. But Destiny, before you go, could you just let them know where they can find you?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, absolutely. So I have just recently joined TikTok.
Hey,
that's officially official Destiny Blake. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram, so that's official Destiny Blake. I got a landing page, destinyblake.co.uk. I'm on. You can reach out to me.
Yeah, good.
So if you need any kind of coaching or anything of that sort, I'm also getting ready to do some a speak up event as well, yes, online event, and some other things that I'm getting ready to do. So you can always reach out to me.
Amazing, amazing, amazing entrepreneur, amazing woman of God. And again, once again, do not forget to also share with somebody that you know this will bless. They say each one teach one and reaches one.
So,
so do share, right? I'm your host, Michelle Watson. I don't even think I gave my name throughout this whole podcast, just to show you it's not about me. But I'm your host, Michelle Watson. And as I say, you are an iconic woman. So go out there and represent. And you know who you're representing. So thank you. And tune in for the next one that will be coming very, very soon. Thank you. Stay blessed.
Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Iconic Women Show. We look forward to having you again. So don't forget to subscribe and do the 3 R's. Leave your ratings, reviews, and recommend to your family and friends.